The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day. And through it all, the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, that when sown in the ground is the smallest of all the seeds of the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, summer is here, school's out for the summer, and the living is easy. And so I thought I'd do this morning is I'd lead off with a little thought about vacations. You might just find this interesting. Because I read an article that said that more and more people these days are opting to take short vacations. They call them mini vacations, just 4 days or 5 days. And they're doing this because, you know, they're so busy they can't afford to get away for that many days. And they're doing this because the prices of everything just gets higher and higher and they literally cannot afford to be away for that many days. So many people were taking these short vacations that they actually commissioned a study to find out whether or not it was worth it. What's the value of going away for just 3 or 4 days? Can it restore you at all? 2023 Pew Research study looked at 5,900 U.S. workers who took vacations of just 4 or 5 days. And would you be surprised to learn that just a 4-day vacation had the same restorative power as a vacation of 2 weeks? And what's even more surprising is that a short vacation was even better at restoring your cognitive wherewithal, right? Your well-being in your mind. Very surprising results. The one thing that might not be surprising is when you hear the reason for this. And the reason is, when you know your time is short, you make the most of every hour. When you know your time is limited, you make every minute count. Remember what it was like to be in school? And you had the whole summer free. Remember those grand old days? Some of you are still in school. Some of you are still teachers of school. And you still have the entire summer free. And all I can say is, you lucky dogs. The rest of us, poor scum, the only thing we have to go on is memories, right? Great old days. And you know, your summer would begin, and the whole summer yawned before you with days off in endless succession. They stretched all the way to the horizon. Didn't think anything of it. Until one day you woke up and you realized it was August. And you only had a couple of weeks left before school began. And then you started to make the most of every single day that you had off. I don't know about you, but those were some of my favorite days of all. And you may wonder why am I saying all this to you here this morning. And the reason is because of just one short little line from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. We heard it in our second reading. And he reminds us that your time here on this earth is limited. Whether you like it or not, your time is limited. Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will give recompense according according to what we've done in the body, whether good or evil, like it or not. But a question for you this morning. How well do you know that your time here on this earth is limited? How well do you know it? How many funerals have you been to in the last 6 months? Do you ever spend time in the company of people who are dying? People who are days or perhaps even hours away from closing their eyes to this world forever and opening their eyes to eternity forever. How often do you face death? Now, if you're a healthcare worker, if you're a first responder, you face it all the time. You probably can already imagine that your priests face death every single day. Every single day. We count ourselves lucky if we can go even one day without receiving an emergency call to go be at someone's side, to give them the sacraments and to pray with them as they breathe their last and leave this life. We count ourselves lucky because, you know, usually it happens every day, if not multiple times a day. In this parish in the past 6 months, we've had 40 funerals. Face it every day. But you know, Paul knows most people don't. And most people need to be reminded of a very important fact. You only have but so many tomorrows. Make the most of today. Most people don't like to talk like this. Most people don't like this subject. Talk about death. They change the subject. They say it's dreary, it's depressing, it's morbid, it makes people uncomfortable. Have you noticed people won't even say the word death? They use euphemisms. They say he's passed on, he's passed along, he's gone to a better place. But this is very important for us to face, and daily, because it's a remembrance of the shortness of your life that helps you to know what matters while you live. In the shortness of life is found your wisdom. You know what matters and what doesn't and what never did. In fact, here's a pretty good exercise for anybody to do. You got any problem in your life, any problem whatsoever, put it in the context of your whole life. Imagine for a moment that you're the one who's got the terminal illness. You're the one who's about to breathe his last and on your deathbed. Now, what does your problem seem like in that context? Because in that context, you are finally seeing your problem for how it really is. But you know, there's something more we have to do, though, as Christians. There's something more we have to do, though, as Catholics. It's fine for us to say, Lord, help me to know the shortness of my life that I may gain wisdom of heart. It's fine. It's in the Psalms. We need to take it a step further, though. We need to recognize not only is life short, but we're going to be judged for what we've done. St. Paul says, we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and you will receive recompense according to what you've done in the body, whether good or evil. We have this misunderstanding in our society that judgment really doesn't matter because everybody goes to heaven, right? It's very common. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of Ralph Martin. He's a very popular writer. He's a popular a YouTuber, he writes books, he gives retreats. If you haven't heard of him, though, I'll just tell you this. He's most famous for saying one thing. Then in our society today, most people believe that the road that leads to heaven is broad, that the path is easy, and everybody, but almost everybody, is following that road. And the road that leads to hell is very, very narrow, and almost nobody's on that road. I mean, maybe Hitler, maybe Stalin, maybe Pol Pot, but not you and me. And then he reminds us that Jesus says the exact opposite to his apostles in the Gospel of Luke. He says, how broad is the road that leads to destruction? How easy the path? And how many they are who travel it. But how narrow is the road that leads to life. How difficult the path and how few they are who find it. The exact opposite of what most people think. The apostles in the Gospel of Luke asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, do most people go to heaven? Jesus, please give us the comparative population statistics of heaven and hell. A question he would not answer. In response, he said that. He said, strive to enter in. The way is difficult. You see how much it matters? See how much it matters to remember the shortness of your life and to remember the importance of every action. You're going to be judged. It's very important to remember this. One of my favorite authors, Fyodor Dostoevsky, great 19th century Russian author. He once wrote a book with a real funny title. It's called The Idiot. And in that book, there's a scene of a man who's about to face execution by firing squad. He's only got 5 minutes to live. And he has a meditation on all the things he can accomplish with just 5 minutes of life. If only he lived those moments well. And then, of course, he's not executed, right? He's reprieved, and you're left with those thoughts. But this is an idea that flows so beautifully with what Jesus said in the Gospel, that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Not only are your days limited, but every single action of your life, every minute, is so valuable. It's like that mustard seed, small in its beginnings, constant in its growth, astonishing in its results. You know, a seed is an astonishing thing. An astonishing thing a seed is. There's so much genetic information in that tiny little seed. How to sprout, how to grow, how to germinate, how to blossom into a flower. So much genetic information in that tiny little seed that if you printed it all out on paper, you would need an entire shelf filled with encyclopedia volumes to contain it all. It's as though it's stamped with a mark that says made by superhuman intelligence. And furthermore, did you know that a seed retains its power to germinate for centuries, in fact, for millennia, as long as it's kept in the right conditions? They were doing some kind of archaeological dig in Egypt, one of these tombs of heaven knows who. And there in the tomb in ancient Egypt, from the days of the pharaohs, they found a stalk of wheat. And they planted that wheat. And wouldn't you believe it? That wheat grew up into a healthy stalk of wheat. It's been sitting there for 4,000 years. Digging in the permafrost in Siberia, they found a seed in the permafrost from the Ice Age. Planted that seed, and it grew into a beautiful white flower that has since, that it had gone extinct, hasn't been seen on the face of the earth in 13,000 years. Then the same God who made the seed says that my kingdom is like that seed. And things people said to you decades ago, and you know this, they can still germinate in you. And remember the importance of your actions and the good that you've done. And years ago, it may not have borne any visible fruit. You might not know. It's got the power to germinate, no matter how small it seems. Limited life. Short span of days, the importance of every action. These are the building blocks of a life well lived. Jesus says here in the Gospel that the land yields its first fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. It was Pope St. Gregory the Great who commented on that passage. He says the blade is your intention. The ear is your action. The full grain in the ear is the fruit and the consequence. But never forget this. It all begins with a good intention. I know a lot of people, they think that they're too small and too insignificant to make a difference. They're so overwhelmed by the power of their past, the power, the stranglehold that their sins have on them, or they're feeling that they're insignificant in the face of this great big world. And in the midst of this, our Lord reminds us. He reminds us that his kingdom, that his word is like a mustard seed. Never neglect the importance of one action. And every single one of them matters. And start today. And people try to say, well, you know, I'm too old. People say, I'm too young. People say, with my past, with my present, I'm such a scattered, tattered mess. God could never do anything with me. And it's helpful to remember the many people in the Bible who had absolutely the worst credentials, the least qualified to be in God's service, and the amazing things God did with him. Like Abraham. Tried to tell God he was too old. Thank goodness God didn't listen. Or Jeremiah. God called Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, "Wrong number, God, I'm too young." Thank God God would not take no for an answer. Jacob was a liar and a thief. Moses had a speech impediment. Noah had a drinking problem. Job was broke. Peter, the prince of the apostles, betrayed Jesus 3 times in the single moment that he needed him most. While the rest of the apostles slept, Zechariah was too short. Paul was too zealous. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead, for goodness sakes. So don't tell God that you're not good enough. And don't tell God that the time is not now. When they ordain you a priest, the bishop tells you 2 things and you never forget them. He says, model your life on the mystery of our Lord's cross. And the one who's begun the good work in you will bring it to fulfillment. Those are wise words for all of us to remember. Model your life on the mystery of our Lord's cross. Things don't always work out the way you expect, do they? And dreams don't always come true. Don't let it stop you for a minute. God's still at work. Because the one who began that good work in you will bring it to fulfillment. That's why I'm so fond of saying, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.